From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up once again with Congress out this week for the Memorial Day break and not as much going on here in Washington, D.C. I wanted to take the opportunity to share with you some of last week's Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing. We had about 500 pastors, their wives, and leaders that were here in Washington for the 15th annual Watchman briefing, and it was fantastic. In addition to some of the nation's leading Christian leaders and speakers, we heard from Ambassador Large for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback, Vice President Mike Pence, Congressman Mark Meadows, Congressman Mike Johnson, just to name a few. And I only have time for some of the highlights, so you're not going to be able to hear it all in today's program, but you can actually watch it all, the entire briefing, by going to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on Watchman Pastors. Now, today, I want to share with you from two people. I want to share with you two people. One is the pastor of Times Square Church in New York, Carter Conlon, a great guy. Just love him. And the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, great guy as well. He dropped by to say hello to the pastors. But I want to start with Pastor Carter Conlon. He shared a powerful message entitled Praying with Power.
Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you, God, for how you have been speaking to us so powerfully all day. We recognize that we are a nation in trouble, but you are calling us as men and women of God to stand in the gap. You're calling us to stand there righteously. Men and women who have a heart for you, not playing games with you or your kingdom or your people or your truth. And so, God, thank you for examining our hearts with your truth today. We bless you, Lord, for those that you love, you chasten. You tell us that no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous but grievous, but nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So we love you, Lord, for speaking to us, and we thank you, God, for all that have spoken this day. The courage that it has taken Pastor Tony to address the topics that have been spoken about, and the realization that you have given us an open window as a nation, and now you're calling us as men and women of God to rise up and take our rightful place as the heralds of your truth. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, to invade this room. I ask you, Lord, to tear down everything that needs to be torn down and build up everything that needs to be built up. I ask you, Lord, for genuine humility to touch each of our hearts. For you told us, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. And so, God, we just curse the roots of pride that would try to keep any of us to hold on to a sense of righteousness that is not conformed to truth. Help us, Lord, in our weakness, for we recognize that without you, we are nothing. Without you, we are just voices without power. Without you, we can't pray. We can't preach. We can't teach, publish, or defend, God, what we have not fully embraced ourselves. So give us the grace tonight to respond to this initiative, Lord, your yearning for us to rise up again as your church and your leaders. Father God, my voice is worth nothing, but yours can create a universe. So I'm asking that I may have the privilege of disappearing, that you would take this frail body, you would overshadow my weakness, and it would be your mind, your thoughts, and your heart that would be conveyed to your people. I pray, Lord God, tonight for the pastors that are here and for the Christian leaders that in every stage, even those who are leading their home, I pray, God, for a touch of heaven to come upon all of us, a courage, a passion, a power, something of you, Lord. I ask you for the grace to look outside of our own struggles and trials that seem to want to preoccupy our time. I ask you to give us the eyes to see that those that nobody else sees in our society. Give us the passion, Lord God, to get our children out of the grip of hell. And Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for this moment. We ask you, Lord, to protect our president. We ask you to protect our present government. We ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, to keep this bulwark in place for this moment while we prepare. Because, oh God, ultimately, the future of the nation is in our hands. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. I was, just as a sidebar, I was reading today in the scriptures in the book of James, chapter 5, where James says, confess your trespasses or your faults in the original King James to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your faults one to another. There's nothing in pride but powerlessness. There's nothing there. There's no reason to hold on to it. It's simply an illusion of power. It's an illusion of walking with God. And pray that we might be healed. And then he gives us the illustration of if we will walk in righteousness, we are declared, of course, to be righteous through Christ, but there has to be a manifestation, an outward working of that righteousness. It doesn't mean that you and I are perfect in all things. It really just means that we have a hunger and a desire to be the man or woman that God has called us to be. As Paul said, I may not have achieved, I may not have attained, but I'm leaving behind what needs to be left behind, and I'm moving forward to this high calling of God that's on my life in Christ Jesus. Now, after James says these words, he gives us an incredible illustration. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave fruit, and the earth produced its fruit. And as I read this in the context of a complete thought that the Lord is speaking through James, it's an incredible thought that God says, I had a crisis in a nation. There was a crisis. The whole of God's people at that time were being led astray by false thought, false theology. They had left off the worship of the true God, and they were captivated, and they didn't even know it. And I needed somebody that could make a difference. So I took a man, the Bible calls him just an ordinary man with his struggles just like we have, but obviously a righteous man, obviously a man who wanted to walk in truth, yet as every other person, not without fault or flaw or struggle, but he had that inner desire to walk in truth. And God raised him up at a crisis moment in a nation and gave him power in prayer that could stop the rain. In other words, God says, I wanted to find somebody I could work through to do what only heaven can do. And I think you'll agree with me tonight that we're at a moment in the history of this nation that only God now can make a difference. And I'm really thankful that we're there now. Only God. Only God can make a difference. Only God can push away the darkness. Only God can give us the victory. Only God can bring our children out of the captivity that seems to have surrounded them and this generation. Only God can bring back righteousness again inside of our borders. Only God, only God, only God. And he's looking again, as he did through the prophet Ezekiel. I didn't want to have to judge the nation, so I sought for someone to stand up in the gap. And couldn't find anybody. Isn't that a tragedy? Couldn't find a single person among the most religious people on the face of the earth at that time. May it never be said about you and I. May it never be said that God passed by our church looking for a righteous man or woman of God and couldn't find anybody that would stand in the gap and be the person that he had called them to be. Now, I want to talk to you for just a moment about three prayers that changed, that delivered a city. Three prayers. Not long prayers, but they had incredible power because there was a life behind those prayers that God could work with. And that's what I believe that the Lord's been trying to speak to us all this day today. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm not going to go into the whole scenario, but suffice to say, there was a city. There were walls around the city. People of God of that time were dwelling inside these walls. And beginning at verse 14, it tells us that the king of Syria, the enemies at that time of the people of God, the enemies who always want to come in and captivate and swallow the testimony of God. That is our fight. That's the fight we've always fought. That's the fight we're fighting today. It's the fight we will fight tomorrow. Now, while the people slept, in verse 14, it says, the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now, just think about for a moment, the people inside the city, they feel comfortable. They've got a history. They have the prophet Elisha there with them, for example. There is a semblance of spirituality in the city. They've got all the testimony of their past, and I'm sure they're enjoying themselves. And while they were enjoying themselves and while they slept, stealthily an enemy came in and surrounded them at night. You know, I'm not anti-church, and I'm not here to beat on anybody or anything, but realistically, while we slept as a nation, while we failed to take the stands that we ought to in many cases, the enemy came into the borders of this nation by night and surrounded the city. So we find ourselves in a very, very similar situation. As a snake, he slithered into the wombs of the nation and began to murder the children. The devil always goes after the children, you know that. All throughout, he went after the children under two in Bethlehem to try to get a hold of the Christ. He went after the firstborn sons in Egypt, throwing them into the river. You'll see the pattern all the way through Scripture. And while we slept, as a church age, as a generation, or maybe a little more than that, the enemies slithered in, first to the wombs, and began to murder the children. What a tragedy that is. Not content with that, he slithered into our grade schools and began to gender confuse our children and lie to them about many things. Then he went into our high schools and told our high school children, you cannot pray, you cannot do this, you cannot speak about God. As a matter of fact, there is no God, so don't even bother speaking about him. Not content with that, he went into our colleges and began to radicalize our young people in the nation, our future leaders, against both God and country. Not content with that, he went into the homes and began to divide and destroy the homes. Not content with that, he began to redefine family and marriage in the nation. Not content with that, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? The first person to arise and realize the situation was, I call him the chariot counter. A natural man. He sees with natural eyes. He reasons with a natural mind. He crafts a natural plan. And he's the first one up. He looks over the wall and he starts counting. One, two, three, four, all the chariots. Turns around, looks at the resources inside the city, and comes to the conclusion, we're done. We're finished. The enemies that have gathered around us are more and mightier than we are. They are too strong for us. What are we going to do? If all we see is in the natural, if all we can do is count our statistics, then we will always come out just like the 10 spies that went into the promised land, and we'll come to the conclusion, we're done. We can't win this battle. The second man to rise up was a spiritual man. And some of us have arisen up, and God has given us the understanding of the hour we're living in, and we can quote the statistics, we can read the books, and we all know how difficult this day is.
You've been listening to Pastor Carter Conlon. I'm Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, but this is a special edition, and bringing you some highlights from last week's Watchman on the Wall Pastor's Briefing, our 15th annual briefing. And when we come back from the break, we'll continue with Pastor Carter Conlon. And then we'll be hearing also from the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. So don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. If you're just joining us, we've been listening to Pastor Carter Conlon from last week's Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing with a stirring message entitled Praying with Power.
We all know that the enemy has crept in. He's surrounding our cities and our homes and our families and our children. We all know that we're in a very, very perilous moment in history. We know that. That's what the natural man can see. But thank God, by the power of God's Holy Spirit and by the strength of God's word, we are not destined to live there. This is not our inheritance. This is not our heritage. We still have the God of all this universe sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, whose name is above every name that will ever be named. Everything is under his feet. Everything in this world is in subjection to him. And so Elisha answered and said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now we see the first prayer that Elisha prays. He said, "I pray, Lord, open his eyes that he might see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. This has to be our first prayer. God, I don't want to live in the natural realm. I don't want to live in that realm where I'm guided by just what I think and I see and I feel. I'm not called to live there. I'm called to be more than a conqueror through Christ who lives inside of me. I have the living God inside this earthly temple. The living God who created a universe by his spoken word. The living God who can raise people from the dead. The living God who can calm the sea and calm the storm. The living God through whom all things are still possible. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. My prayer for you and for my own heart is that, oh God, as you once did with Abraham, would you lift my head again? Would you help me to see things that are bigger than what I can see with my natural eye and perceive with my natural mind? Would you give me an understanding again that you are God and there is no limitation to what you can do? There's no limitation to who you are or what you can accomplish through my life. And so the scripture says, when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. Now the first prayer was, give this man sight, open his eyes that he might see. His second prayer is for the enemies of the people of God. He said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, that blindness doesn't necessarily mean they couldn't physically see. He was really praying, confound them, confuse them, don't let them achieve their objective, confuse their pathway, don't let them go where they have planned to go. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have power in prayer, my brother, my sister. We're not victims on the sideline watching history go by, powerless to change it. No, there's still power in prayer. We can still believe God for a spiritual awakening in our nation. Give me one good biblical reason why we can't believe it for a spiritual awakening. Unless we choose to stay in bondage, unless we choose to live in the flesh, unless we choose not to ask for spiritual vision, unless there's no authority in our prayers because there's no truth in our lives. And Elisha said to them, this isn't the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And so it was when they had come into Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they might see. His third prayer. He only prayed three prayers and delivered a city. Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he may see the host of heaven that's with us. Lord, blind the eyes of our enemies that they may not perceive or realize their objective. And now he prays, Lord, open the eyes of our enemies that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw they were inside Samaria. In other words, they had been taken captive, not by an army, not by a strategy, by one man who knew how to pray. One man. Remember, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman avails much. Elisha was a man, or Elijah, like we are, Elijah was. And he prayed, and the rain stopped to bring the people back again to the worship of the one true God. And once they began to worship again and they said, the Lord is God, then God answered his prayer again and sent them rain. The Lord opened their eyes and they saw they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, this is a type of a man who still walks in the flesh, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those who you've taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. And this is the heart of God, even for our enemies, the one who commanded us to love our enemies. No, it can't be in your heart to do violence. It's in their heart, but it can't be in your heart.
That was Pastor Carter Conlon of Times Square Church in New York, with a message entitled Praying with Power. That was one of the keynote messages last week at our Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing. When we come back, we'll hear the rest of what Pastor Carter had to share with the pastors. Then we'll hear from the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. Don't go away. More to come after this break.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-APATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. Okay, as we said, this is a special edition of Washington Watch. I wanted to take time out since Congress is out this week, not as much going on, and share with you some of the highlights from last week's Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing. And I want to bring you the remaining portion of Pastor Carter Conlon, pastor of Times Square Church in New York, with his message entitled Praying with Power.
You never know what God is going to do when you and I begin to reach out to the poor, the afflicted, the addicted. We choose to walk together in unity as the body of Christ. We pray together. We ask God to do what we can't do. I still get together every month with the pastors, the 100 pastors from Feed New York churches, and we pray, and we've never had a plan and still don't have a plan. We say, God, reach the city. We believe you can. We believe you will. We believe you'll reach our communities. We ask them to turn the worst of the worst in our inner city schools into evangelists that will be fearless and stand in their schoolyard and preach the gospel of Christ. We ask for prayer meetings to break out in our colleges and our grade schools, even in daycare. We ask for God to send his Holy Spirit and bring revival. We're recently being flooded with young people in their 20s starting to come in from everywhere, from every walk of life. We have a seeker service now at 1 o'clock, and we're getting upwards of 350 to 500 people who do not know Christ coming in, asking questions. It's truly amazing what God is doing. People are not afraid of truth. This generation is not afraid of truth. They're searching for it with all of their heart. I have a gentleman that travels with me when I go to different places quite frequently. And last night, I shared with him some things that in my life where I felt the devil was trying to get into my mind and discourage me. And we prayed together. And after we prayed, I told him, I said, I feel so good. I feel free. The enemy was starting to get an inroad in, about some things in the church, some problems. You ever had problems in the church? Anybody here? Is that just a New York thing or, you know? I just was getting down about some things that we have to face and deal with, and the devil was trying to get into my mind saying, you know, it's your leadership, it's your fault, and these things didn't have to go this way, and you're deficient, et cetera, et cetera. One time I was in Nigeria with Brother Chooks, and we were about to, Brother Chooks was an ambassador from Nigeria at one time, and he stayed here in the country after his term was up, and We're in Nigeria, and there was about 500,000 people going to be gathering at night for 3 nights, and they were in a state of civil war. And I just suddenly got overwhelmed. I said, oh, God, I'm way in over my head. I mean, they've been in quarantine. They've been not quarantined, but they've been confined to their houses for about 6 months, and this is their first ever public meeting. The last time they were together in public, the nominal Christians and Muslims, 6,000 people died. And so here I am, the catalyst of bringing these people all together into one location. After the first shot is fired, there's going to be a bloodbath here. And I've caused this, and I've brought people together, and there's going to be death. And I just started oh, God, forgive me. And I was laying on my face in my hotel room, wailing before the Lord. Brother Chooks walks in. I just like friends like Brother Chooks. He's an old-time warrior. And he walked into the room and said, what are you doing? No, what are you doing? It's a real deep voice. And I said, I've made a mistake. I've brought 200 people here. There's going to be people killed. And he looked at me and said, get up. He said, God sent you here to do a job. Get up and get it done. We saw 100,000 people come to Christ the first night. 100,000 souls. God brought peace into that area. And even the governor of Nigeria, who wasn't there during the crusade, he was so taken by what happened, he flew to New York City. Brought an entourage with him. He says, I don't know what you did. He said, but whatever you did, I want that in my life. He said, would you put your hands on me that I could be a follower of Jesus Christ? He was unsure of the concept, but I was able to lead him to Christ. And this is the governor. And he saw the power of God, the power of prayer, the power of walking with a brother. We've heard that here. You can't do this alone. None of us can. You need a brother. You need a sister. You need somebody you can talk to. Don't try to do it yourself. You just go deeper and down into the spiral. Confess your faults or your struggles. No, it's not always just faults. It's just struggles. It's weak areas. It's just things that are attacking your mind. A feeling of failure because you're preaching the gospel and your own kids are not living for the Lord. It happens. The struggles, the trials that come in, you're telling everybody about this wonderfulness of God and your own marriage is in trouble. Don't try to fight this alone. God is willing to fight it for you. But it requires a humility to see his power released in your life. And once you begin to know his power in a personal way, then you begin to crave for that knowledge of God to come into those around you in your society. And you begin to say, God, open my eyes. Give me a higher vision than what I've been walking in. Give me the ability to see who you are, what you really did on the cross, and what you can do for this generation. And then you begin to pray. That the enemies of God would be brought into captivity, not destroyed, not punished, not any violent end come to them, but God, bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And help me to show them kindness. In spite of how they treat us, help us to be representatives of the one who went to a cross for us when we were not even seeking him. God, help me to be an ambassador of that kingdom. Would you stand, please?
That's Pastor Carter Conlon, pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, with his message to pastors last week at the Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing, Praying with Power. Okay, don't go away, because when we come back from the break, we're going to hear a special address that was given by the Vice President of the United States, who stopped by. So don't go away. More Washington Watch right after this.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism. Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. Okay, as we said, this is a special edition of Washington Watch. I wanted to take time out and share with you some of the highlights from last week's Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing. To close us out, we had the Vice President of the United States drop by. Vice President Mike Pence had the pastors on their feet almost the entire time. And could not think of a better way to conclude the 15th annual pastor's briefing than with the Vice President of the United States. Here is what the Vice President had to say.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm very humbled by that warm welcome. And I just heard y'all were in town and wanted to stop by. And just reflect for a moment on what your support, on what your prayers, and what your encouragement has meant to this president, to this administration, and to this nation. But before I do that, would you? I know you were just covering him in prayer, but I got to tell you, this president, his vice president, our entire administration couldn't be more grateful for Tony Perkins' unwavering leadership in Washington, D.C. Tony, we appreciate you. And to General Boykin, who I know you've heard from today, to all the great speakers, to Michelle Bachmann, who I just saw backstage, my great friend I served with in the Congress, it is humbling for me to be able to stand before you this morning. To be able to greet the 2018 national briefing of Watchmen on the Wall and to bring you greetings from a great champion of faith in America, the 45th President of the United States of America. I bring greetings from President Donald Trump. Let me assure you, all of what you've done to support the agenda and that I'm going to reflect on for just a moment, I hope you take great satisfaction in and know that you've played a vital role. But I'm also here to acknowledge the fact that the ministries that you lead, the faithful that you lead every day. I know it is the president's conviction. It is my conviction that the pulpits that you stand at are of much greater consequence than any podium behind which he and I stand. So thank you for your service to the gospel. Thank you for serving the American people every single day in all your ministries. But I love this gathering. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord has posted watchmen on the walls and will never be silent day or night, and you haven't been. You've been out there speaking on behalf of eternal truth and on behalf of religious liberty. And I hope as you look at the progress that together we've made in the last 15 months that you know that you've played a vital role. You know, Tony and I were just in the Rose Garden not long ago, and for the second year in a row, the President of the United States celebrated the National Day of Prayer. And on that day, he said, "We are a nation of faith and a nation of believers." And we've been acting that out in tangible ways as well. And I just ran a little list here just in case you hadn't heard about it. Because this is something the president always talks in terms of what we have accomplished together. That's really why I want to come by today, to celebrate what we've been able to do. I mean, think about it. From very early in this administration, this president committed to appoint strong conservatives to our federal courts at every level, men and women who will uphold the God-given liberties enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. And last year, with the strong support of our partners in the Senate, this president appointed and saw confirmed more conservative judges to our federal courts of appeals in a single year than any president in American history. And that doesn't even count Justice Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The president has stood strong for religious liberty. Last year in the Rose Garden, the president signed an executive order to protect the right of every American to live out their beliefs in the public square. And this year, he created a new faith initiative that will ensure that faith-based organizations, in the president's words, have an equal right to exercise their deeply held beliefs in the public square. And we are going to continue to fight until we fully repeal the Johnson Amendment from the Internal Revenue Code. But it will no longer be enforced under this administration. The president loves to tell the story about how he learned about the Johnson Amendment, Tony, doesn't he? It was with a group, maybe many of you in this room. As he said, as he's wont to do in the course of a campaign, he heard support from men and women gathered in New York City. And he said, "Well, why don't you go back and tell your churches about that?" And they said, "Well, we can't. Because there's this law called the Johnson Amendment on the books. It threatens our tax-exempt status." The president made a commitment. And under this administration, he's taken executive action to make sure the Johnson Amendment is never enforced. And we're going to repeal it once and for all. I promise you that. I will tell you as well, this president has taken the fight for religious liberty to the world stage. And I couldn't be more proud. I called him up a couple nights before I was scheduled to speak at a gathering just like this, an organization that focuses on persecution of Christian minorities around the wider world. I told the president that our information was that funding going through the UN, particularly in the wider Middle East, was not reaching Christian communities to be rebuilt in northern Iraq. And It took the president about 3 seconds on the phone. I told him what we could do is directly fund through USAID, Christian-based and religious-based NGOs to rebuild religious minorities, communities, and Christian communities. And he said, do it. And we've already distributed more than $100 million through USAID directly to Christian NGOs that are rebuilding Christian communities in the wider world. And lastly, I don't know, those of you that know me well, probably can appreciate the fact I couldn't be more proud to serve as vice president to the most pro-life president in American history. It's true. Think about it. It was a few days after the inauguration, the president reinstituted the Mexico City policy, banning federal funding for abortion organizations around the world. We empowered states to defund Planned Parenthood, and just this last week, the president reinstituted the rule at HHS to prohibit Title X funding from going to organizations that provide or perform abortions. Amazing. Standing without apology for the unborn and the sanctity of life. That's President Donald Trump. That's what you all have done. You all have elected a president, supported an administration, supported partners in the Congress who stood with us in this cause. And I expect that you rejoiced as much as I did. I heard Michelle Bachmann was actually over there when, after more than 2 decades of broken promises, this president recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel and moved the United States Embassy there. It's amazing. But I came really because that's what we've done. That's what all of you have done. I mean, through, you might have noticed, a little bit of opposition here in Washington, D.C. And I'm not just talking about the media. This president has gotten up every day, I can tell you. He and I have gotten to be very close. I mean, obviously, we're a lot alike. I mean, I get it. He's big city, I'm small town, you know. He's very charismatic, interesting, memorable. I'm me. I was Hillsdale College. I got to give a commencement speech the other day. And it was watched by tens of Americans on C-SPAN, if you want to see it. It was, it's true. But when I was preparing the speech, you know, it really was a blessing to me because I ended up talking about faith, and I did the math, and it was 40 years ago this spring in 1978 that I was at a Christian music conference in Wilmore, Kentucky. You know, I'd been raised going to church every Sunday morning, a very faithful family, believing parents, but when I went off to college, and I kind of set all that stuff aside, but there I was, the end of my freshman year, at this Christian music conference, and I heard one clear presentation of the gospel after another, and then when the rain gently fell that Saturday night, 40 years ago this spring, I literally walked down and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And so I just want you to continue to share the gospel, share that life-changing message. I'm 4 decades into walking with the Lord, and Tony will tell you I've got a long way to go. But of paramount importance is that you just continue. continue to hold up the truth. Secondly, I just want to encourage you, like Pastor Bevere said this morning. I love the title of his message. Preach, stand firm, and love well. Just keep coming alongside. You know, this is a time of too much division in these United States. And, you know, whether it's in our crisis pregnancy center ministries or whether it's churches just simply being the hands and feet of Christ, I just can encourage you to continue to just, as Pastor Bevere said, to just love well. Love well and hold up that witness. And lastly, I do want to encourage you to continue to pray. This Memorial Day weekend, as a proud father of a United States Marine, I encourage you to pray for those families of the fallen, but pray for all the men and women who serve at this very hour in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. Pray for our law enforcement and first responders around America today who are facing challenges and hardships as never before. And ultimately, I just encourage you just to pray for America. But don't, you know, and this is where, while we celebrate what we've accomplished in our agenda, and we look forward to a great election this fall and our midterm elections and even a better one in the fall of 2020, I'd encourage you to just pray for America, for every American who lives under the flag. I always think Abraham Lincoln had it about right in his time, in a much more difficult time than we could even imagine now. He was asked once if he thought that God was on his side. And our 16th president said words in effect. He said, I don't concern myself so much with whether God is on our side, but rather we're on God's side. So pray for America. Pray that we continue to uphold those ideals and traditions. And as I'll always believe that, as I'm wont to say as I travel around the country with a similar encouragement, that what's been true for thousands of years that Americans have clung to throughout our history is every bit as true today. If his people, who are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray, he'll do like he's always done in the long and storied history of this nation. He'll hear from heaven, and he'll heal this land, this one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for your ministries and your prayers. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
That was the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, addressing the pastors at the 15th annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing. Well, folks, if you'd like to find out more about Watchman on the Wall or this year's briefing, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, out of time for today. So until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6. He says, when you've done everything you can do, you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.